Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Monday, September 24th. Two races in the Chase are in the books. Race three's coming up. Going into the Monster Mile this coming weekend, we will have George Keller, the Dover track historian, joining us shortly, talking about all the fun stuff that goes on at Dover. Tammy, you know what's going on at Dover. Cindy, it's going to be your first time there, so you will probably...
I probably need my notebook. I'm going to get my notebook and take tons of notes.
The NHRA was out in Texas for their second race in the countdown. They had the funny car version of the Traxxas shootout. John Force took home the $100,000 bonus money and the trophy. But John Force Racing didn't really fare too well in the event itself. But Mike Neff is the only one to hold down the 3 points. So, any sign of George there, Pam?
Not yet.
Well, hopefully, he'll be joining us shortly. And we've had a little problems for some reason getting the guests to make it through tonight. I don't know what happened before, but let's go out to the...
There we go. Here he is. I'm going to put him through.
All righty. I'd like to welcome to the show Dover Tracks historian. Anything you want to know about Dover but was afraid to ask, this is the guy to ask. Mr. George Keller. George, welcome back to Garage Talk Live.
Hey, Vince. Thanks for having us tonight, buddy.
Hey, it's that time of year, George. You know, Dover's getting ramped up for the coming race number three in the Chase, and a lot of stuff going on, getting ready for the weekend. Tammy was on vacation about a month ago, or actually Labor Day. She was heading back north, and she took her husband to the Monster Mile and saw how different it looked when the place was empty down around the mile statue. But that's not really the case.
You know, there's many days where the only person out there around the track is me. But the Monster is really getting awake now. There's a lot of RVs that have come in earlier than ever, so we're pretty excited about that, Vince.
It looks like they even opened up some tent site. There's a tent area now in the campground, so you don't have to have an RV to actually spend the night down at the track.
We're really enthused about that because we've had a lot of feedback that young folks, you know, money's very tight. That's nothing new. But we're really excited to see how that works for us. And it's a fair charge, a lot less than a hotel or motel. I believe it's $100 for the weekend.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, not much better value than that.
And, when I camp, I don't use a trailer or an RV. I used to pack a tent. So if I wanted to come to Dover, I'd bring my tent and get up in the tent area and
And they've got access to showers.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask
about
that.
The giant supermarket is back. So, if they forgot anything, that supermarket, Vince, has got everything you need in it. I believe they've got more than 14,000 items.
Wow.
So if you forgot something, all you got to do is walk over to the store, and it's right there for you.
Well, that's the thing about Dover being where it's at. George, so you got Kmart, you got the mall, now the Giants. So you don't have to bring anything but yourself because everything is maybe a few miles walk from the track.
And yeah, we're really well located. I was listening to XM satellite radio, and there was one columnist, let's say, on there saying that, you know, we were hard to access. Well, I don't know if they've been everywhere. But we're one of the most easy access tracks on the whole circuit.
You can walk anywhere around the track to get to anything too. Everything's right within reach.
Right, and we're thrilled about it because I go to other tracks. I realize what an inconvenience a lot of these places are.
And Dover's probably one of the only tracks that's right in the center of town.
We're inside the city. So
well,
we've
then
got
I have a question.
Sure.
So, you know, again, I'm having a very difficult time with the shoe situation. So if I find that my shoes will not work, I can always walk to go get a different pair of shoes, correct?
Yeah, you're close enough to the mall. I would say from anywhere around the grandstand area, I can't imagine it's more than a quarter of a mile walk.
Yeah,
really?
It's real quick and easy to get there and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm okay. I'm okay with my shoes.
We don't sell shoes, so, you know, we encourage you to go to one of our local merchants.
Hey, they ought to have some Dover souvenir flip-flops or something.
No.
You know, I'll pass that along.
Pair of 4-inch heels that say Dover or have a picture of Miles on them, shoot, I'll buy them.
You get your earplugs because sitting in the Monster Mile does get pretty loud when the cars are going around the track.
Yeah.
You get your flip-flops for walking around the parking lot in the campground there because
right.
I think you can wear them inside the track. And
well, there's two places that the noise is worse. One of them is Bristol, and the other one's Richmond.
Right.
So we don't want to be first in that category.
Nah. due to the way that the track is laid out, Dover is with the high grandstands all the way around the track has a tendency to keep the sound, and you get that feel.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, and I'm hardcore. I've always got one ear of the headset cocked wide open.
I think you know, you need one on the headset to hear what's going on
right.
around the track and the other one to hear the sound of the cars. How do you differentiate between Gary in one ear and the cars in the other?
Well, what we usually do is turn Gary off.
Okay.
He had me all over the peninsula today putting out coasters for the places that need them, bumper stickers, banners, and posters.
Oh, my goodness.
I made 25 different stops in a range of about 30 miles, and it took me 6 hours.
Oh, wow. Well,
it sounds like an easy day, George. I wouldn't complain.
I even had a little help, but I don't want anybody to know.
No, we won't tell you that.
So what do you got planned for everybody for this weekend down there at Dover?
You know, there's a lot going on. We've got special Q&As around the Monster. Again, we've got live music, the Monster Fun Zone. You know, we have the three races, the Friday evening K&N Pro Series East. American Real TV is the race new race sponsor. And,
okay.
Of course, the... One Main Financial 200 on Saturday and the AAA 400 on Sunday.
Wow.
And this, of course, the K&N Pro East race is the last race on their schedule where they crown the champion, and they always do it every year at Dover International Speedway.
Well, Vince, this year, we're not their last race this year.
What happened?
We're their next to the last race. But I have an idea that the champion will be known when they leave Dover.
Okay.
Not exactly up on their points race at this time. But so in the past, we've been their last race. They refer to us as their Daytona. And, of course, we like that.
Yeah.
But they're racing one more time after us.
Well, that's their loss. I mean,
I have to agree with that. I'm not sure where it is either, to be honest with you, right up front.
I think if it wasn't for Dover, I don't know too many tracks they do run at. So it's true. Is that maybe Loudon or somewhere up?
Yeah, they're in Loudon, and they're it's basically a lot of short tracks in the Northeast.
So,
but as the racing goes, that's usually a pretty darn good race there Friday evening. Gets a green flag around 5 o'clock.
And race until about 6:37, barring any major incidents, which,
right.
Believe it or not, there usually happens to be some every now and again in that race.
Yeah, usually it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and you know, I think sometimes the lower tier racing brings a lot more excitement than the cup race, because the cup racers anymore have been treat each other pretty nice on the track, and they've been getting a lot of green flag laps. And of course, Dover has a tendency to bite the cars early and have a long stretch in between, and then when you get down around the last 100 laps or so, it starts to get a little crazy again.
I hope they make at least 20 green laps Sunday before turn two by something about old turn two and turn four at Dover.
Yeah, at least what happens in turn four winds up about the ends around the start finish line.
Amen and further.
Yeah. I remember there was a couple of years ago, Joey Logano got airborne at the track, and it was a real mess.
I don't know whether you'd be aware, but he set the record for flipping at Dover.
What
did all those guys had one?
It was held by Donnie Nuenberg, because he was the only guy that ever completely rolled over once at Dover. And that was probably, just guessing, let's say, between 5 and 10 years ago. He held that distinct record, and then Joey decided to really break it. Because he flipped it 7.5 times.
Wow, and he was pretty good up there for height in the air and everything, because I was standing in the cup garage, and I could see the orange come across the top of everything looking towards the turn.
Wow.
So he was up there pretty good. When I turned around, that's all I saw.
He did a beautiful job on that day. I don't know whether anybody will ever flip as many times as he did that day. We'd have to almost stage it.
Put like a half ramp where they go up on one side and then try to do it as a thrill show.
But it's awesome video. We're still getting juice out of it.
No, I bet. It should be on the web page. Remember this?
Yeah. It might be there somewhere. I'm not sure, Vince.
Run it out on the front page before every race weekend.
Yeah, we have that flipping in every strategic place.
Wow.
So, anything new that they've done to the track area? I mean, they've redone pit road. They've redone the media center.
After Mark Martin's incident at Michigan, where he came off the track and then dangerously flipped the jump over wall on pit road, I believe NASCAR has mandated changes at every track. And so I see two jersey barriers that have been cut in half, placed right in front of the entrance to Victory Lane, and about an 8-inch pipe in the ground. So there's certainly a modification there. And I'm not exactly sure if what I looked at early this morning is actually finished yet. So I probably shouldn't say too much more about it, but there's definitely a change there at the entrance of Victory Lane. But my concern about what's been done there is that's borders on chaos as it is, and now the winners have got a real tight, dead-on right angle to get into the Victory Lane.
Wow.
So I'm a little concerned about that.
Well, they come down pit road first, don't they, or they come from the track right across?
They come down pit road first.
Oh, that's not too bad. They're not going to be coming off the banking on four and plowing through
they'll be slowed down somewhat. But, in each race there's about 40 losers that come by me a whole lot faster than 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, I think once the checkered flag flies, forget the pit road speed limit.
Yeah, NASCAR timing and scoring isn't checking it then.
Yeah.
It was about 5 years ago, Scott Speed almost ran over me.
Wow.
Which I said to myself, hey, George, you don't really have to do this.
Yeah, right?
Mr. McGlynn said, George, he almost hit you? And I said, yeah, I'm primarily aware of that.
The kid, anyway. He didn't get you, so that's a good thing for you. Because
I wouldn't have been able to call you guys tonight.
Yeah.
So what do you look forward to most during the Dover weekend? What's your favorite thing?
Any the second green lap of any race if they don't wreck on the first one. And
okay.
just prior to that, gentlemen, start your engines.
Cool.
And this will be, if I make it to Sunday, this will be Sprint Cup race number 86 at Dover for me.
Oh, wow.
You've been there for all of them?
Every single one.
Wow.
I was a fan for the very first race, July 6, 1969, and I've been working there since.
Wow. I know a fellow broadcaster, a friend of mine, Skip Clayton.
Oh, yeah.
I think he covered the first race down there. Boy, I think you two can compare stories, and a lot of people, if they don't go to you for information, he's the other guy they go to.
At least once a race weekend, he'll come up to me and say, "Do you remember when?" And no matter what he says, I always say, "Yes, I do." And you know what, gang? Sometimes I know what he's talking about.
I had met Skip when I was working at the other radio station back in Jersey, and I went to go cover some Flyers games, and we were in the press box, and I'm sitting next to him, and he's over doing NASCAR stuff.
There's only one Skip Clayton, right?
Yeah, there is.
Sure. Yeah, he goes way back deep, that's for sure.
Yeah, good old Skippy.
Yeah.
That's true. I heard Tammy was telling me that Tommy's going to be back this race.
He was at the last one.
Oh, he was at the last one?
Yeah, he was back at the last one. He was down there working with the drivers as they came off and getting them up into their trucks.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, cool.
Figures, I missed the races and everybody's there.
Right.
Now, Claire's having a show down there. Is that's in the casino? On
yes, it is.
Thursday night?
Yes. Friday night, I'm pretty sure.
Or Friday night? Okay.
Yeah. Friday's
pretty neat.
20th.
Pretty neat experience.
Now, is it you buy a ticket? Does it go on the charity?
I don't want to lead your listeners astray, but I believe it's a $5 charge, and I believe that money then gets donated to a worthy cause.
Hold on. I have it right here on the website, DoverSpeedway.com.
Okay.
And if you still want to get tickets, call 1-800-441-RACE or show up at the door.
That'll work.
And I think a $5 donation to go to USO Delaware in advance of the event. So,
yeah, we're hoping for a large turnout for that.
And tickets will not be sold at the door for this, so they must be purchased in advance.
Okay.
And it goes from Friday. It'll be Friday from 7 to 9.
Yes, that's correct. I do know that.
Live at the Rollins Center. Now, I guess that's the was that the auditorium in there?
It's going to be in one of the ballrooms.
Okay. Tell Claire we're giving her a plug on our show.
I'll tell her when I see her.
Okay.
And you're going to have the free movie again, it says on there. You're going to be showing Days of Thunder, it looks like, Saturday night at 7 o'clock.
Yes, we are out at the... beside the giant food market, I believe.
Oh, awesome.
And maybe it's at the Monster. I shouldn't say.
Gosh, guys, if
I had been delivering posters today, I would actually read again about all the stuff we're doing.
RV Lot 10.
Oh, okay. That's where it's happening then.
That's the party lot from what I hear.
I can't confirm that.
Some people that I know that used to... That used to work inside the media center that set up shop down there, says so. He hasn't been there in a while.
You know, that's actually where we had the Firefly Music Festival back
Lot
in 10? July.
The How did that turn out?
Area. Oh, it was a smashing success.
Oh, good.
Absolutely. In fact, it's coming back again, second annual, about 10 days after the June race.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
we were we were expecting between 20 and 30,000 people a day, and we had them Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Wow.
That's a good promotion for Dover Speedway. Now, or is that the hotel and casino that puts that
on?
No,
that's actually Dover Motorsports.
Really?
Yeah, we had to prove that we could do something other than have racing twice a year.
Wow.
And there was virtually, it was virtually incident free.
Now you have it listed here too, since you're with the music right now. Sunday morning, Lone Star is going to be giving a concert in Victory Plaza.
I'm pretty sure.
Are they doing the anthem too, or are they just doing the pre-race concert?
They are, I think. They are, I think, doing the anthem.
Awesome. That's a good bunch of people.
So it sounds like I'm going to miss another fun weekend at Dover.
Well, we need to get you back at the Monster Mile, Vince.
Yeah, I know.
It's not the same without you there.
We have a first-timer coming this weekend, George. She's one of the ones that does our show on Thursday nights with us. She's coming for her first ever race to the Monster.
Really? Well, please let me meet her.
I will do that. I have to track you down. I haven't met you yet either.
Really? Oh, yeah, I want to meet you.
Well,
I'm in and out of the media center.
Tammy always hides in the photography lounge.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
Well, Tammy, please come out and ask for George.
I will have to come find you. You can't miss me. I'm in a bright orange vest, but I know everybody else is too. But
yeah, well, I'm somebody that hands them out. We're going to hand out over 100 of them.
Awesome.
So how in the world am I going to find you in orange dress?
And the first timer is affiliated with TJ Bell, one of the drivers. So,
okay.
So that's who she'll be hanging with. So we'll drag her down and get her to meet everybody that we know down in the media.
If there's any way, I'll try to do something special with her or for her there.
Oh,
I'm not sure what that's going to be right now, but I'll try.
Well, we're taking, as soon as we get down there Thursday night, we're taking her over to see Miles because she's only seen the pictures and stuff I posted. So
right.
That's the first thing we're going to do is get everything set up because we're going to be tent camping and go and see Miles.
Well, his eyes ought to be lit by Thursday night.
Yep, he'll be all glowing and ready to go.
Right. And you can just tell your first timer that you talked on Tuesday night with the guy that did all the work on all those drivers' names and events and dates.
Oh, wow.
That's scary. I think I got to do it because nobody else wanted to.
Yeah.
I believe there's 179 plaques up there right now.
Are there really?
Yes, there are.
On the mile?
Around,
on miles?
Yeah, the granite plaques around the base of Miles.
Wow.
And there's room for 25. There's room for 25 more years.
Wow, that's a lot.
Somebody asked me last week. I said, well, what are you going to do when it's filled? And I looked at him, I said, look, I'm 66 years old. Do you think I care?
they'll be putting a plaque of you for you up there at that particular point.
They'll have to start putting them on the ground
that.
And make it part of the sidewalk.
Is there any drivers that are being honored at Miles this race, or are we pretty much caught up with everybody with
There's no new plaques being dedicated, if that's what you're asking me.
Okay. Because we have, what, Richard Petty, Bobby Allison, Dale Earnhardt.
Richard and Bobby are on the big marquee plaques, along with the plaque about the Monster himself. There's no current move to add anyone, all right?
Yeah.
Well, we probably all knew who we're thinking about talking about.
And it looks like you're going to be doing a collection there. Looks like by miles somewhere in there for food for the
yes.
Chase Card Services and the Food Bank of Delaware on Sunday.
Yes. Yeah, we're hoping that goes well.
And that's where at the Miles
I believe around near Miles there. There'll be some kind of markings for that. We're providing the venue for those that want to participate.
Cool. So fans can bring out some food donations and help some of the people in the area.
That's exactly what it's all about.
Yeah. And that's what's good about the big weekend down at the Monster Mile with all the activities going on. There's plenty of stuff to do for everybody, whether it's inside the track or outside the track. You have the vendor stand, the souvenirs, Speed TV does their track side from...
Yes.
Actually, pretty much trackside. They're not often the far end of the parking lot. And I think you usually have some manufacturer displays, and I think Jack Daniels or one of the liquor companies always have their vehicles out there. If you take a tour, you have to be, of course, 21 or older to enter, and you get a little taste. And there's just so much going on. As a fan,
that's certainly one of the most popular things.
I don't think... I don't think a weekend is long enough just to hit everything that's in the fan zone area.
It would take you a while to go through it all. And, of course, that you know, we're proud of this approach that we have that, you know, we like to think it's more than just coming to a race. It's an experience. We want our people to enjoy themselves. We want them to be talking about us when they leave in a positive note, and we look forward to their return.
And, by the way, there's a race on Sunday or Saturday and Friday. And,
oh, yeah, if you're out there and you don't have anything to do, come on in for the race.
And I noticed they're also going to have prior to the nationwide race, they're going to allow the fans to, cross the track or...
Well, they're allowed to come out as fans, provided that they have a race ticket, and they get to come down trackside. I know Elliot Sadler's going to be there for a Q&A. Richard Childress is even going to come. And I don't want to speak out of turn here. I think maybe Austin Dillon.
Wow.
I wouldn't want anybody to come based on that because I'm not 100% sure standing here talking with us.
Well, that's
I know probably... Childress is going to be on the stage. That's early Saturday morning. And Elliot Sadler. And Elliot does a beautiful job with the people. Of course, that's prior to the One Main Financial 200.
Well, they're his sponsor, so...
Yes.
That's probably why he gets the call. And, of course, he drives for Richard Childress Racing for this year.
Right.
This will be his last Dover race for Richard Childress Racing because he's reported to go to Joe Gibbs Racing in the Nationwide Series next year.
Right. I'm not sure about the Gibbs deal being confirmed yet.
Well, I'm saying...
But I know he's not going back to Childress.
There's a lot of silly season stuff going on. There's something they did at Bristol. If you buy an advance ticket to the night race, they let people take their cars down and drive around the track.
My goodness.
Yeah, I got to drive my... We actually bought tickets to go down there, and we got to drive our car around the track. So... There's another marketing ploy for Dover. You want to pass it on, George?
Sprint Cup weekend, you got to do that?
No, it was like the week before, 2 weeks before.
Oh, okay, I see that.
But you had to buy your tickets and have your tickets by a certain date. Like, if you bought your tickets by, I think, for the Bristol race, it was the 11th of August. If you had them by the 11th of August, that's the 11th, all the fans were allowed to come down, show their tickets, and they... took the pace car around, and they followed behind a pace car. The pace car kicked it up about 70, 75 mile an hour. And
is that right?
And you got a chance to
actually... I'm not sure we can buy enough liability to do that. I'm not sure how Bruton pulls that off.
But you got to sign a waiver.
Right. Well, we have people sign waivers when they're following me in the pace car doing a flat-to-the-floor 25... 30 miles an hour.
Wow.
I had a couple of elderly gentlemen last week that asked me whether they were going to get to take their motorcycles on the track.
I looked at both of them
and I said, indeed not. We're smarter than that here.
I couldn't imagine. There's too much of a banking on there to try and take a motorcycle around it. I wouldn't even want to do the race bike.
Right. Well, they actually can follow me around in the pace car.
Oh, wow.
That kind of thing.
Well, at Bristol, the motorcycle stayed on the apron because they would have got run over.
Right.
But that was a pretty cool thing to drive around the track. Hey, you never know. It might be something, sell more tickets.
You know, 2 weeks ago today, we had a benefit blood drive, which was very successful. We had over 110 people show up. We got 89 pints of blood. And then I actually gave the donors that wanted to hot lap rides in the pace car.
Oh.
I made 100 laps that day.
Oh, my goodness.
300 more laps? You could have configured
yourself. Yeah, I could have been in the AAA 400.
Right? 50 more laps, you'd have been in the K&N 150.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds... Well, that's something else they do too. Pace laps and
you can drive
go around in the pace car with the But I think, as a matter of fact, they even had at Bristol when I was there, they had Ty Dillon giving people ride arounds he'd go by himself, and then between times that he would go out on the track, they'd let the cars out on the track in groups of 10.
Okay. You know, from June 3rd up to last Thursday, I've given 43 tours of the Speedway. For as few as two, I've even done in the past for one, and as many as over 80.
Oh, my goodness.
And there were days in July I was out there with kids from school where it was hitting 100.
Oh, wow.
But the temperature or the speedometer?
No, it was the temperature.
Okay. So, see, there's stuff to do at the Monster Mile, even when there isn't a race on. Whether it's
there is. We give tours every Thursday afternoon at 2, or if that doesn't suit, then give us a call at 1-800-441-RACE, same number as the ticket office, and we'll try to accommodate a special request.
Oh, wow. Now, you guys have the racing school down there too, right?
All right, it's Monster Racing Excitement. They're a great bunch of guys and gals. They actually lease the track from us.
Oh, okay.
And so they are, in fact, for real Sprint Cup and Nationwide Series cars that are retired.
And the people can pay to use them and learn how to drive out there and have some fun.
Well, you can ride in one for 4 laps for about 100. Or you can actually get in one and drive one for 10 laps, and it's around 400.
Wow.
And the reason it's expensive is the insurance makes them run a real racing tire and a softer compound, and they're telling me those tires wear out in about 60 laps.
Really?
Really?
Oh, yep. Now, they're hitting speeds. It's pretty much self-governing. I know I'll hear people running their mouths about how fast they're going to go, and then I'll see them come down the straightaway going about 45.
Yeah.
But they'll tell me they were doing 200?
The racetrack itself is very intimidating when you're out on it because of the banking.
And that's just not the turns. That's the straightaways that are banked at 9 degrees as well. So
straights are 9, and we're 24, and we're the same degree of banking as Atlanta and Charlotte. Of course, they're mile-and-a-half tracks.
Yeah, so it looks a lot steeper when you cramp down to a mile.
Yeah, and the NASCAR drivers tell us, and more than one of them has told us, that the sensation of speed they feel at Dover is worse than anywhere else they race.
Oh, I can believe that.
So we like sharing that with your listening audience.
Yeah.
They call Dover Bristol on steroids. It's twice as big, just as high, and it's
and the wrecks are far more ferocious when they happen.
And you never know when Miles is going to strike.
That's right, the legend of Miles.
Well, many a driver has been bitten by Miles. Fortunately, they all walked away, but the cars had it.
Yeah.
They were asking me the other day, you know, those boys, when we got started, they didn't really want to come up north and race.
Really?
When they heard it was a one-mile track and it was high bank, they were even less interested. And some of the contraptions that they would sew into the left shoulder area of their driving suits and then attach them to these straps to their helmets were literally a scream to see because of the G-forces.
Oh, my goodness.
And I remember Fearless Freddie Lorenzen from Elmhurst, Illinois. He drove for Holman and Moody. And somewhere during one of those early 500s, he had to have relief. And the last I saw Fearless Freddie at the Monster Mile, he was laying on the green grass bank after getting somebody to take over his ride. And when he was laying there, he didn't look too fearless to me.
Nah. Kind of looked spent.
Spent and used.
Oh, that's not good.
So that's when the track was asphalt and they ran 500 miles instead of 400 on concrete.
I know.
That's correct.
I remember when Kyle had his last win, it was at Dover, and they had to give him oxygen and everything like that in victory lane because he was that worn out from the race.
Yep, he got out and laid down in front of the car.
Yep.
And Dover will do that to you. And even after they shortened it and turned and made it concrete, drivers, and especially like in the June race.
Yep.
They'd be worn out by the time they got out of the car. I saw Stewart after the 1 year I think he swept both races earlier in his career, Sprint Cup career. He was one tired, roly-poly little dude then.
Yes, he was. I remember that day. I remember also one of those wins he had to excuse himself from Victory Lane to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, now everybody hits that before they get in the car at the media center.
Right. Yeah, we need to go through it.
Well, it's in a perfect spot. Those who pit down the front end of pit road, your top qualifiers, will hit the media center. Everybody else is relegated to the port-a-johns along pit road.
Because they don't want to walk that far.
Yeah. We usually get about three or four of them before the Sprint Cup race head in there.
Right, and we can't really turn them down, but we would rather they went somewhere else.
But then again, everybody gives them room because they got to get back out there and have a job to do.
Right.
However, the one time during, I forget, maybe it was for qualifying or something, Robbie Gordon took the newspaper in to the John there, and they were looking for him because he had to get his car. And, of course,
that's a good one, too.
You don't take a newspaper in the men's room unless you're going to be there a little bit.
I've never found the attraction to that myself.
What, reading in the men's room?
Right, I'm a get-in, get-out-fast guy.
Yeah.
I don't understand the allure of reading the paper in the toilet.
If you're married, it's called quiet time.
Oh!
It's same with kids, too. That's the mommy time.
Okay, now I understand.
It's the most private spot you'll have in your life.
No, it doesn't work, though. When you have kids, they find you. So, yeah, that doesn't
work. Oh, that's just it. That's why they put locks on the door. But anyway, so we have a lot of fun stuff this weekend. Of course,
we're really hyped now for it.
I can't wait. I am so excited.
Now, you know, right beside the Monster, Frankie's restaurant from inside the casino brings the staff out, and we have a full-service Italian restaurant right beside the Monster.
Oh, they're going to be set up again? I know they had the little fire pits and everything like that last time.
Yep.
It was really cool.
Yep, I saw it this morning.
Awesome.
They're ready to roll.
Now, isn't there like a seafood restaurant inside the hotel now, too, or a buffet or something like that?
Well, the buffet has, within the last year, the buffet in the casino has been completely remodeled and updated.
Wow.
With all kinds of neat serving stations. It doesn't even look like a buffet in there.
Really?
It's really neat the way they redid it.
Of course.
And the seafood restaurant would be Doc McGrogan's Oyster House.
That's what it's called.
And, of course, there's Michelle's restaurant in the Rollins Center in the hotel. And the quality there is second to none.
That's for those people that have money, though, you know?
PR people and radio people, right, Vince?
No, drivers and followers.
Thursday's a good night to go to Michelle's because ladies' entrees are half price.
Oh, there you go. That's that fine dining stuff where the prices are good, they're high, and the portions are small.
Oh, boy.
I like places where the prices are low and the portions are big.
Yes. Yeah, there's a couple restaurants around Dover here that have great food, guys, but there's nothing on your plate.
Yeah. So what good is that?
The two bites you get are great.
That's my favorite thing we look forward to. It's going in there for breakfast or going in there for dinner. It's just going in and getting something at the buffet in the casino.
Oh,
sure.
I used to eat at the media center. I thought the sandwiches were pretty darn good there for breakfast. And the crab balls on Sundays and the chicken cordon bleus. And
I told Gary that vegetable lasagna's got to go.
Really?
I like the apples. I tried them last time. They were really good. The apples? They're like cinnamon hot apples that they cook. I don't know. They were really good.
But the side dish. That's not a...
That's a good dessert.
Actually, I thought, I can't, you know, that vegetable lasagna wasn't all that bad.
Really?
I was rather, I was stressed with the people that don't eat meat, though. You know, they got to have something like that.
Yeah, I'm glad they made that for them, not for me.
Of course, it used to be Saturday night at Sambo's on Leipzig Road there.
I had lunch at Sambo's today.
Now, what's Sambo's?
It is an authentic Waterman's Tavern.
Oh, wow.
And they've been in business, I know, over 40 years. I actually taught the present owner, who is one of Sambo, the original Sambo's sons.
Wow.
And that restaurant has not changed. Yeah, Ike, the owner now, Isaac, the owner, when I first came here 44 years ago, they heard, the kids out there heard that there was a teacher that was coming out there for dinner, and all the little brothers stood at the window to peek inside to see if they could see who the teacher was.
Well, they used to have,
I would tell you that they have absolutely the best crab cake sandwich that exists.
Everybody used to go down there, because that's all they talk about. Are you hitting the Sambo's tonight? You're hitting the Sambo's tonight? The drivers would be out there Saturday, Friday or Saturday nights.
Well, you know what DW refers to us up here. He calls us concrete and crab cakes.
Concrete and crab cakes. I'm sure he spent his share of time at Sambo's when
I believe he's pretty much a regular.
Yeah.
When we were a smaller group, we would many times have our pre-race meeting at Sambo's.
Hmm. That's a good place to have it. Get away from the track.
Yeah.
Did they allow cocktails during meetings, or that?
We met, yes, we were. But that's all in the very distant past anymore.
Yeah. I remember back then, years ago, when drinking and driving wasn't such a big deal like it is today.
Yeah, I'm still overwhelmed with why it's such a great big deal, but it is.
But as a matter of fact, the last PR director used to hold court down there, I think, on Saturday nights.
I know who you're talking about. Those are some fun days.
But the economy went south, and I guess people had to tighten the belts. And,
south, we only have one pre-race meeting a year now for two weekends.
Wow. I guess make sure who's going to be doing what and where, and then...
And that's it. Bring in the cold pizza and have a snack.
There's grottos, though, right?
No, I'm not sure. I shouldn't say. Oh, there's going to be a Grotto's right out in, just to the north of the Speedway on Route 13, finally.
Oh, is that a new one?
Yeah, it's going to be in the Atlantic Bookstore. Grotto's, after rumoring to come to Dover for over 20 years, they now are coming.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, truthfully, George, not a fan.
I had better say I have some friends there, and I don't know who might be listening.
Yeah. Coming from the Philly area.
I understand that, what you're telling me.
It's a little different, but, you know, it's a staple of the Delaware Shore.
Oh, yes.
I noticed that when we went down there. Everywhere we went, there was a Grotto's.
Oh, yes. Yeah. They've grown like our mosquitoes.
I'll let you know. I'll go check out one of their buffalo chicken pizzas, and I'll let you know.
All right. That doesn't even appeal to me. But
I can't do the pizza sauce, so, you know, I have to figure out ways around it. That doesn't have pizza sauce, so we'll have to do it that way.
I'll be darned.
Take the fun out of everything.
God, that would.
Yeah, pizza's not the same without it, but it's all right.
Without what?
Without pizza sauce. Tomato sauce.
Is it because you're allergic to tomatoes?
It just... makes me get really bad upset stomachs and stuff like that. So I guess
really?
It's the acid and everything, and it just is enough that, yeah.
She has a weak constitution.
It's like a grandson that I have. He came up here when he was 8 years old, and I didn't know he couldn't or wouldn't eat tomatoes. So there were some cherry tomatoes. I made him eat one, and I swear three came back up. I said, how did you do that? Well, Grandpa George, you know, I don't like them. I said, yeah, I'm more worried about how three came up and he ate one.
Yeah.
They're the ones you snuck earlier.
Yeah.
He's also the one that came in one hot afternoon and told me he wanted a Coke. And I said, water. He said, you don't understand. Coke is my life.
Oh, that's not good.
That little one now is a freshman at Virginia Commonwealth in Richmond. He's 6'8".
Wow.
Okay.
Oh. See, Coke is the real thing. It helps you grow.
Yeah, whatever it was, it worked for him.
Cherry tomatoes.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I hope I do get a chance to meet you there.
I will make sure I track you down. I know we'll be there bright and early Friday morning, so we'll
be be too.
That's when I used to get there. I think sometimes the doors of the media center were still locked.
Yeah, we'll try to have them open by 7 for you.
I'll have to make sure as soon as we get over there. That's the first thing I'll do is I'll get my spot set up in the media center and I'll go to the counter and I'll make sure they track you down.
We'll do it.
He'll be in the cafeteria with a bunch of the other people in red shirts there, Tam.
Right.
I'm the shy one, though, and Cindy's going to try to break me out at it this weekend, but I'm super shy, so.
She says that, but, you know, she's my anchor up there now, and she's trying to play the shy girl.
I am.
Oh, I see.
I admit it, I am, but it's okay. I'm getting there.
Here's how you do it, Tammy. If you're afraid to go find George, ask Tommy to find George for you.
Right.
Because Tommy Ciampa will he'll recognize her.
I don't know,
that'll be good.
Either, so I can't even just ask Tammy to do it because she's not there. So
I'm so happy because our friend Tom is so fortunate to be alive with the type of cancer that he had.
I know. I was so happy to see him and to get big hugs from him every time. It's just so awesome.
I think I last saw him in September, and I don't think he wasn't working that weekend yet, but he looked good.
Yeah, for everything he's been through, and I'm not exactly on top of everything he's had to go through to still be in this world.
Yeah.
You ain't going to knock him down.
No, we're happy to still have him.
Yeah, he's a good guy, him and a whole bunch of them there, that little group there.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone in the media center is awesome.
Nelson, it's trouble in every seat. I had to take the visiting dog to the vet the other morning, and they wanted to know if Mr. Coey was going to help me at the track. And I said, well, if you can call it help. And the little gal we know there said, I won't even go there.
Now, are you guys doing the firefighter? Is that this weekend also? That's normally in the fall race.
Yes, it is. Yes.
This is the fall race.
We're going to have quite a few of their vehicles in the pre-race parade, they tell me.
Very cool. And they're doing the fundraising for the Fallen Firefighter Foundation again, I think?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. NFFF is an easy way to remember it.
Yep. Yep, we know that one really well. We actually got my husband and I and our search dog, we have one of the bears this year. We were one of the ones picked for it, so that's kind of cool.
Awesome. Yeah, there's so much that goes on that I can't keep up with it all with the things I got to do.
I know. You're doing things on the stage. The parade's going around behind you on Sunday morning. There's just so much going on. You have to keep be in a little spin circle and just keep spinning around to catch it all.
That's for sure. And I'll be out in the infield wrestling up Grand Marshal vehicles, pace cars, pace trucks, and God only knows what else.
Wow.
Talking on two different radios, making sense on neither one of them.
And only you could do that, though, George. That's why they give you that.
Thank you, buddy. I should be able to do it after all these years.
You got it down to a science.
I don't know if I'd call it science, my friend. One step away from disaster.
Aww.
Now, is there anything at the track that
that'll happen in this race that maybe might change something in Dover history, or it's just a normal...
Yeah, if Jimmy Johnson wins number 8.
Yeah. He's looking forward to this one after
the
past couple of weeks.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm sure he is.
He's got the points lead now, and this is race 3, and this is one of his favorite tracks.
Right.
Matter of fact,
a couple of years ago, they let him do Goodyear tire test here in July, and I'll bet he made 500 laps over 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, and I wondered, you know, the guy's a big winner here. Why in the world did they let him come here and be one of them? But
that probably helped him win a few more in a row after that.
It didn't hurt him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not aware statistically what any of that might do, Vince. That just came to me, that if he wins number 8, that's going to be some pretty significant history for us.
Yeah. Does he have a plaque on Miles yet, or will that give
him
one?
That's kind of no. He does not have one there yet, other than his 7 different plaques for his victories.
Yeah. Well, I guess at number 8, that'll be the most all time at Dover then.
It will be. And I'm certainly he'll get that before he quits, and probably many more.
Just
it could end up being called the Johnson Monument.
Yeah, Johnson the Monster.
Yeah. Nobody's as smooth as he is on the racetrack, though. The only one that rivals that's David Pearson.
Really?
That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, it does take a certain finesse to drive the Monster. I don't know, I think Brad Keselowski seems to run pretty decent there. He did in the Nationwide Series, so.
Right.
He might have a knack for it.
Well, what we hope for, obviously, is that we have a competitive race.
Oh, definitely.
Because that sure was a snoozer yesterday.
Everybody kind of read about it online on Facebook, said the same thing. I think, believe it or not, the race here at Dover, the AAA 400, might be the first exciting race in the chase.
We're hoping so.
But Chicagoland wasn't all that exciting either.
I rest my case. Let's have an exciting race. Hope it's here.
Keep a few water bottles handy along the pit wall so if they wind up on the track.
Well, if we aren't exciting, Talladega the week after will be.
Yeah, but who wants to wait till then? Dover's our track.
No, I'm rooting for it this weekend, just like you.
It's always a good race, though, down there when we come down. I mean, they don't get strung out because it's such a small track. They have to fight between each other through lap traffic and everything like that. So it's always a good race.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
They do have that little 200-lap stretch of green in the middle of the race that kind of tends to stretch things out a little bit. But they're always, like I said, the last 100 laps, something always happens, whether it's early in the last 100 or towards the end of the race. Like the time it was when Mayfield and Emma got all piled up. I think nobody wanted to be the leader because whoever wound up leading wound up getting in oil or something and wrecking. And I think it was a race that I think Ryan Newman eventually won out or something like that.
I just wrote about the 1975 Mason Dixon, one of our 500s in 75, where Richard Petty was actually 6 laps down and came back and won the race.
Wow. But then again, back then, it was easier to make laps up passing the leader.
Right.
Now you got this lucky dog stuff, and you can't race back to the yellow flag to get your lap back. It's all these safety changes. Kind of
are necessary and warranted, but we got a lot of people that don't understand that. They keep quoting, there's too many rules now. But that's because they don't understand the significance of why those changes have been made.
Yeah. I think the fact that now they have the safer barriers and the newer cars makes the racing a whole hell of a lot safer than what it used to be when they just had the concrete walls and the Hans devices and the safer barriers. I think have kept more people from being really hurt than years past. I think those are the three, in my mind, the three key things that have made the race, you know, the racing, NASCAR racing a lot safer.
It absolutely is, yes.
What happened with Dan Weldon in Vegas last year, when you're riding around in a bathtub at 200 miles an hour, there's certain, you don't have all that cage around you to keep you in.
That whole thing is just a terrible tragedy.
Yeah.
They were just far too fast for that track.
Well, the cars are designed to go that kind of speed, and it was just a mess that they made getting to there trying to get around it. I mean, they had the IRL series at Monster Mile for, a couple of seasons?
We loved it, but the problem is nobody bought any tickets.
I guess they didn't feel that, actually, nobody bought tickets to IRL races that much.
Right.
If it wasn't Indy, nobody went. That's why they re-merged back with the old kart series, try to draw a crowd. But, wow, George, I think it's the longest we've had you on.
Well, I've really enjoyed talking with you two tonight.
Well, George, it's a pleasure talking to you, too. We'll thank Gary for allowing you to come on with us. And
I enjoy our visits, Vince, always.
And I'll have to get back up there when I can get stuff sorted out down here. I'm finally moved in. Now I've got to find myself a way of life. And then when I start getting some time, I'm going to start hitting the racing circuit again.
Well, that's good news, always. We'll look forward to you returning.
And so take care of Tammy and Cindy.
We will.
And I'll be with you there, with you in spirit, and I'll definitely watch on the TV.
We'll certainly be thinking of you, buddy.
And it should be a fun time at Dover, and you want to pick a winner before we let you go?
Oh, sure, 48.
Oh, you're going to 48. You want to rewrite that history book just a little bit this year. I got it.
I'm going with the 48 if you let me pick first.
You can pick
sure.
Who are you going to pick, Vince?
Well, let's see. We usually don't do this for another hour, but...
Okay. Don't do it. No, don't do it in advance.
Well, that's okay. We could make the picks now. I kind of like... I'm going to go with the two car, Brad Keselowski. I think he's... He's going to give the 48 a little run for his money this week.
You think? Well, I hope he does. I sure do.
The guy I picked for New Hampshire let me down. It usually runs good there, and that was Biffle.
Yeah, something's going on there. They were talking on the Hub tonight about the Roush cars just don't have the power now.
And they just came out with a new motor, the FR9. It's something to find out. They made the rule change for the Chevys and the suspension.
Right.
That's it, Benny. And the Dodge teams are going to Ford, and that's Penske. Roush is building way too many motors for everybody else.
That might be the case. That may be what's up.
Well, have to wait. Tammy, who are you picking? Might as well get this out of the way now.
Yeah, Tammy, tell us.
I'm his jinx, but I'm picking Tony.
Interesting.
But I'm his jinx because every race I've come down there for, he hasn't done so well.
He hasn't done much there since 2000.
See, I'm the jinx.
The Cindy still there?
last race he got caught up in the very first one of the day.
Yep.
With Montoya and all them, and he's got to have some luck. You know, he's due for good luck down there.
Well, that we wouldn't be upset about it.
I wouldn't either.
And Keselowski, Stewart, and Johnson coming across the line for the finish at the same time.
And I know Cindy's taking Gordon, so.
Oh, she's.
We know that one.
Ah, that's good.
That's a given with her.
Right. All right, George. Pleasure talking to you.
Pleasure talking to you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, we always love having you on, and we had a lot to talk about tonight, I guess. We just kept reminiscing.
That was fun. I liked doing it.
Well, you can tune in every Monday night from 8 to 10, and if you want to call in just out of the blue and shoot the breeze, you can.
Well, I'll do that some week.
Hey, it's a blog. We'll send you the link on our Facebook page, our Garage Talk Live Facebook page. Tammy usually posts the podcast up, and the link is there. So it's the same link
cool.
every week. And we're on internet radio now, so we can go anywhere. We can pack up our computer, plug in. I think there's a rumor that we might be doing a show somewhere around the track, right, Tam?
Yeah, we're going to be in the camping lots on Friday and Saturday going off the computers.
Wow, exciting.
So you never know where you're going to find us. We have Basket Pong's going to be joining us, and they're going to be having prizes and stuff. So you never know what's going to be going on.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
We got goodies.
How about it?
What fan doesn't like free goodies, you know?
Yeah.
And this way, if people in the camping lot get drunk, they won't have to stagger too far.
Right. How about that?
We might need a bodyguard.
Well, we're looking forward to it.
All righty. You take care, George. And,
you too. Thanks again.
Oh, no problem. Take it easy now.
All right. Nighty-night.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. We have George Keller, Dover track historian, joining us here. Well, Tammy?
I am so excited after hearing him. I can't wait. It's the last race of the year that I get to go do with NASCAR, but I'm just so excited. It's the third race of the chase and so much going on, and I can't wait to get there.
I know. I mean, after I'm serious, Tam. I hope it's a good race there at Dover because I'll
tell you. The weather is supposed to be perfect temperatures and everything, so it should be great racing, and it's just, I can't wait.
Because Chicagoland was kind of a bore, and Loudon was a snooze fest.
But this is Dover. There's no room for it to be boring down there. It never is, you know. No matter if it's in the nationwide race or if it's going to be in the cup race, there's something exciting is always going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then you got Talladega, which is, you know, depends on which version of racing you're going to get, whether it's the two-car tangos or the wild pack drafts. But, yeah, I know. There's too many cookie cutters on the circuit, and I think they ought to get rid of half of them.
Yeah.
I think they ought to keep it Dover. It's a different shape, style track with different speeds. Bristol, I guess, I don't know. It's before Richmond, which is the last race before the chase, so you know they're going to get up for that one. Because that's anybody's last shot to make it in. But get rid of one of these cookie cutters. Throw Sonoma. Move Sonoma into the chase. Let the road course be part of it.
Ooh, now that would be good, too.
Need a short track. So either stuff Loudon at one race a year and bring back a North Wilkes or Rockingham.
There we go. That'd be good.
But you don't have any. You only have Martinsville in the chase, which is a tight track. So you know there's good racing there, and that's usually later on. That's coming up in a few weeks as well. But you have Texas. You have Vegas. Yeah. You have Chicagoland. You had Kentucky. Well, Kentucky's not a chase race, is it? I don't have my schedule in front of me. But there's just too many of those. Having Talladega in there, that's good. You got a restrictor plate race, make it interesting. You got Charlotte in a couple weeks again for the race there. That's a Saturday night 500 miler. That is a long race. The 600 at night's long. I remember one time I went down there at Charlotte for Memorial Day, the Coke 600, and I was staying like 2 hours away. That was, I think I got back maybe a couple hours before sunrise to the hotel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Didn't get out of the track till like 2:30. and you had to sit in traffic. I'm talking about just getting out of the track. The race was over at like 1, and you had to wait for traffic to get let through. I tell you, Tam, if you want to go to a race and sit in the stands, Bristol.
See, I wouldn't be able to do that, though. That wouldn't work. Well, I've tried to sit in the stands at Grandview and, like, watch, and I can't sit still that long.
Nobody says you got to sit there for that long.
But it doesn't work for me. Even, like, after 2-3 laps, I'm itchy and roochy and wanting to go take pictures and chase cars around. And, yeah, my kids laugh at me. They're looking at me going, Mom, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. I'm fine. I can't do it. I'm so used to having to run around and chase the cars down or, you know, if the crash is on the other side of the track, get to the other side of the track. And, you know, when they crash and they're on the other side of the track and I'm on the other side of the fence, it just doesn't work so well.
Yeah, I know. You're too spoiled now.
It's not spoiled. It's just I got to get that shot. I got to get that image and story. And it's just a different change of pace now for me.
Yeah, but, you know, every once in a while, it felt good to actually go out there, sit in the stands, and not have to think about anything. Just watch the race.
I do that when I go see the baseball games. That's my way of relaxing.
Yeah.
That's my fan game. I just go sit in the stands with everybody else and have fun. That I can do.
Well, let's touch on these things here, being we were talking about them. We got, of course, Denny Hamlin is what made that a snooze fest yesterday, you know? 4 times for 193 laps out of the 300. Of course, it took him almost 100 laps to get to the lead. But when he got there, that was all she wrote. The only time he didn't have the lead is green flag pit stops, and there weren't many of those. Every caution was for debris, and there were only four of them for 17 laps.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The lap leader to 17 lead changes among 10 drivers is misleading because, like I said, green flag pit stops. Everybody stayed out that needed a point to get a point, including Keselowski, Kenseth, Johnson. If you were to chase and you were in the green flag stops, you were staying out to get that point. Denny Hamlin, after what happened in Chicagoland, where he ran out of gas on the last lap, right coming to the finish, where he lost about 8 spots, was fit to be tied, and he took charge of that race in Loudon and pretty much put everybody to sleep. Jimmy Johnson did what he had to do, came home second. Of course, he didn't get max points because that was Hamlin's on the night, but he did take over the points lead with that second-place finish from Brad Keselowski, because Keselowski came home and finished sixth. So that 1 point difference between second to sixth gives Johnson now a 1 point lead over Keselowski. And if Johnson goes out and does at Dover what Hamlin did at Loudon, he's going to extend that lead. Just because of getting all the max bonus points.
Is he going to do it with the Madagascar wig again?
I don't know. That's what we'll have to get a picture of.
You know, I can't get that song out of my head after seeing him with the Madagascar car. Every time somebody says Jimmy Johnson, I think of Madagascar and the little lemurs or whatever the little dudes are running around on the TV with the little wigs on singing, I like to move it, move it.
I'll just say, here's one that'll change the song in your head. Red Solo Cup.
Oh, yes, that's basketball. As soon as somebody says that, that's the first one that comes into my head.
I saw a Red Solo Cup head-to-head T-shirt stuffed in a Red Solo Cup, and they were on sale somewhere.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Is it a Walmart?
It might be.
That is the Walmart down here. The world down here is a little different than the world up there.
Oh, no. Is it really that different?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we got a 3-room tent now. So if you come up for Dover, we got a 3-room tent.
Really?
Yeah, we got a 3-room.
Well, that won't be this weekend.
No, and air mattresses, too. So we got style and luxury. We're good.
All right. I'll bring the cooler.
I got a cooler, too.
I'll bring the beer.
It's right across the street. Like he said, everything is like within walking distance of the track.
I know. There's one place that I'd like to try. It's right on the, as you make the left end of the track coming off Route 1 there.
Okay.
When you come down from there, you make the left onto the track. There's that Chipotle Grill. It's like a fast food joint, only it's a nicer one. It used to be the Denny's right there.
Oh, okay, yeah, the new one.
Yeah, well, they leveled the Denny's, and now there's like two stores there. One's a Chipotle Grill, and I forget what the other one is. In other words, it wasn't food-related. I didn't remember it.
That one steakhouse, too, smells really, really good by the Sam's Club and the Walmart. Oh, I don't know what the name of it is. There's a steakhouse there, too, and it smells really good. And the Applebee's, I think it's an Applebee's down the street.
There's everything up along through there.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go hungry because you can just walk around. There's the McDonald's within walking distance. I mean, literally, we could just park the car and walk and just have fun.
Yeah, that's the thing about that area right there. There's just last couple times during a nationwide race, I ran out and was it the nationwide race? Yeah, I used to run down to the local tobacco store and stock up on smokes before I headed back to Jersey.
Oh, wow. Now, see, we don't do that. No.
But you don't smoke.
No.
I do. So I wanted to save about $20 a carton, so I did.
No.
I never bought cigarettes in Jersey when they jacked the prices up. I used to get them. In Delaware or Pennsylvania, depending on where I was at and how much they cost. But I think one time I said, yeah, I'll be back. I'm going out for smokes. You know, either, might even Friday or Saturday. Anyway, and Dean would give me a hard time about going to pick up smokes. That's somebody I haven't talked to in a bit.
I'll see him this weekend.
Of course you will. Tell him hello for me.
I will. And Leroy.
And Leroy. Good old Leroy.
And is it Chuck?
Who's Chuck Gibbler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him? Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know.
For all the names. See, that's the other thing is I'm bad with names, so I'm sorry, everybody. I don't remember names. I'm really, really bad at that, too.
Well, of course, you don't associate with anybody.
I know, I hide. That's what happens because I hide. I'm sorry. I'm that like, little bubble and just like terrified, but it's okay. I'm breaking out
of
that shell.
That was my job. I was the schmoozer.
I'm breaking out of that shell. I mean, I got pictures in Speedway Illustrated magazine. I got pictures in Aerial Auto Racing News this year. I'm getting there.
Did they send you your check?
I didn't get it. No, I did. I had to finish my paperwork.
Oh, come on, Tam, get that done. Get that money. I'm curious how much it's worth, how much they're paying you for that.
I can't say that on air. That's a secret.
Well, text me at the show.
Yeah, but I have the magazine, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, finish your paperwork.
I know.
The picture in the magazine is good. The check is better.
Oh, I'm so excited. I've got so many pictures to pick from this year for the EMPA competition. I don't know, so I might have to have some of the Garage Talk Live fans help me pick some out for this year.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know which ones to pick. I've got so many to pick from, and that's my fault. But
give a choice about 30 of them. They'll go like with all 15,000 pictures you took and say, here, pick one.
Yeah, pick one. We've got to narrow it down to 8, so. But we can do that. I'm excited about it. I mean, I learned a lot last year about, you know, when everybody's looking one way, look the other way, because they're only seeing what's coming at them. You're going to see everything that happened behind them and stuff like that. And it's the little things like that that really helped me this year. So I'm excited.
Yeah, that's good. So who did you pick last week? I picked Biffle. He wound up a whopping
18th.
Woo-hoo.
I honestly don't remember.
Pick Tony again.
Oh, did I?
I don't know.
I think I picked somebody really off the wall and wacky.
I think you did too. Now, what about Kurt Busch going to Furniture Row Racing? Yeah, that's a definite for next year.
I kind of mixed on that.
Well, let's put it this way. Phoenix Racing is probably going to close up shop at the end of the year.
Right, but I don't know. nicely.
They did re-sign David Reagan-Smith, who we've had on the show before, who got his first win, and I actually got to interview him at Dover right after that win. And he's a good guy.
That's another team that at least they got a sponsor.
What's that?
That's what I'm worried about, though. With Kyle taking that ride, it's like, where is he going to go?
I mean, well, that's just it. You're gonna find people bouncing around, and if Kurt's say what you want about him, he's a top-notch driver.
He is, and he's a big name, and he draws in the sponsors and all that good stuff. But
he's got a potential of posting up more wins with that team than I think Phoenix Racing. Of course, Phoenix Racing helped Brad Keselowski get his first Sprint Cup win at Talladega when Edwards got in the air. Remember that one? So it's not that they haven't done. They're just a way underfunded team that's run out of money. And if you can't land a sponsor with a top talent, at least Furniture Row has some financial backing because they got a product they push, furniture.
Right.
So I don't really like the looks of the car, all black with just a white Furniture Row and then a red 87 on the, not 87. That's Nemechek 87. 78. Okay.
You know, I like that, though. I like plain, simple, to the point.
Yeah, I like flat. Give it a nice sparkly paint job, though. If you ain't get a sponsor, make your car stand out.
Make it
sparkle. You couldn't look more blah than flat black with white lettering.
I'm the opposite. I like it. I don't know. I'm weird. I admit it.
Yeah, if you ain't got a sponsor, you want to draw attention to your car, you got to make it eye catching. But it's a shame for Reagan Smith. But that's just the name of the game. Who'd have thought Matt Kenseth would leave Roush Racing for Joe Gibbs and then, Logano heading over to Penske with the 22 car. I mean, it happens.
Yeah, I mean, that was a shocker, too. I mean,
not that Logano was leaving Joe Gibbs, the fact that Kenseth was leaving Roush.
The whole thing, though, was a shocker. I mean, yeah, Kenseth leaving just blew my mind. To give up his ride in the Ford to go over there, I don't know. I've watched Matt throughout his career and everything like that, and I just
watched him
grow
from rookie of the year, the same year him and Junior came up the same year together. He won, Kenseth won rookie of the year, won the last ever Winston Cup championship. Nobody remembers that. He won the Winston Cup. Now they all call it the Sprint Cup Championship.
Right.
But back then it was the old Winston Cup, which was like one big small block of wood on top of a big block of wood with a cup at the top. And then Kurt Busch won it the next year for Roush when they went to when it became the Nextel Cup. What did that last? 2 years? The same trophy. They just changed the name. So it's just one of those things that, silly season comes every year.
That's true. It's undeniable. It's going to happen every year, and we're not always going to like it. Just like I don't like the advertising where Newman and Stewart are behind Danica in their new promos and everything like that. She's in the forefront. I don't think she's earned that spot, but that's what she gets.
Well, if it brings the team dollars,
that's
what's going to happen. Johanna Long, let's get to the nationwide race. Johanna Long was looking pretty good again this weekend. She wound up coming home 12th, tying her second best finish of the year.
Nice.
She wound up a lap down, but she was in the lead lap the whole way through up until the end. There's only 10 cars on the lead lap. I was hoping she could have got ahead of Brian Scott in the 11 car. That a yellow came out and that she could have got back on the lead lap. But for somebody with an underfunded team, I think she's progressing quite nicely in the races she's run. And, of course, last week was a setback. Richmond was actually, she was running good until she blew a tire and hit the wall. But she was, Penny Hamlin made a comment on his radio when she passed him for fifth, said there's going to be, it says, if that keeps happening, it's going to be a retirement from the Nationwide Series. But because she was running real strong at Richmond, it's just a shame that that's what happened. And, you know, her pit crew, they're getting better every week, too. It's just the fact that, you know, money buys stuff that underfunded teams can't get. And if you only have seven full-time people on your team that have to do everything, they're going to become tired when it comes time to pitting the car out on the track.
You know, it almost makes me wonder maybe if they would put some limits on the Nationwide Series, kind of like how they did with trucks, you know, limit your tires, limit the equipment and everything that you can use a little bit more, though, than what they're doing already. Maybe
to
try and help.
The
tire limits are one thing, but maybe instead of them using all brand new cars, maybe they have to deal with the Cup Series leftovers or something like that, you know. I don't know, but some way to try and cut the budgets down, because it seems like we're losing a lot of teams lately.
Well, the teams, the whole thing with the new car, it's kind of like the Cup car safety-wise, and you can use it at multiple tracks that they've limited to the, you know, you don't need a special car for speedways and super speedways and short tracks now. It's the same car, so as long as you don't trash it, all you got to do is spruce it up.
True.
And congratulations to Danica Patrick. She did not wreck her car this week.
Biting my tongue.
For two weekends in a row.
Wow, that's a win there in itself.
And she finished behind Johanna in 14th spot.
Biting my tongue.
But on the other hand, Danica's teammate Cool Whip in the 88, he finished in sixth place. Now, is he that much of a better driver, or they just giving him better equipment? Because they did have some team upheaval with Junior Motorsports regarding the 7 car, getting rid of the Yuris, Tony Sr. and Tony Jr. And a lot of people in the booth were thinking that Ryan Pemberton didn't take enough chances, played it rather safe on some things. But Danica was actually 2 laps down.
I don't know if it's as much as they were. I don't know. I don't know if they did the right move in that, the whole getting rid of everybody. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that yet. Maybe after a couple of weeks, see how things pan out. And if there's no changes, then maybe that wasn't the issue.
Yeah. A lot of it, I don't know. Let's see. If Colwood's doing better in the car than Danica, then he's 7th in the points. Of course, Nationwide points, it's Elliott Sadler with a 4-point lead over Ricky Stenhouse, because Ricky Stenhouse had some problems out there yesterday, smacked the wall a couple times, but the Nationwide Series was out of Kentucky. Sam Hornish Jr. finished 2nd to Austin Dillon, who led 3 times for 65 laps. Elliott Sadler led twice for 93 laps, but he wound up in 5th place. But he still managed to hold on to the points lead over Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Austin Dillon's 3rd, and Sam Hornish is still holding down the 4th spot. So that race is a little bit more spread out because they don't have that chase set up. So it's, to me, it kind of makes it different because I think you have more of a chance to spread the field out a little more this way. Now, of course, if in the Cup Series, if you keep spreading the field out the way, that's still a tight points race going on. Figure it's 1 point between 1st and 2nd, between Johnson and Keselowski. Hamlin climbed within 6 points back of 8 points back of Jimmy Johnson with that win. Tony Stewart's not out of it because he's only 3 points behind Hamlin, so he's 10 points out of first, so he's still in it too. I think the question is that everybody, I guess, fan favorite Dale Jr. finished 13th. He's not grasping a hold of this chase like a lot of people hoped he would or he hoped he would. What's your take?
I was hoping for better, but seems like it's just status quo.
Yeah, consistency in the chase is okay if you're consistently in the top five. If you're consistently in the top 15, it's not going to gain you that many points. He didn't lead a lap at all, I don't think. No, he didn't stay out long enough to lead a lap, so get a point there. I mean, there's those little things that you have to do to gain yourself some points, even if you're not running too well. Every little point you can grab is better for it in the long run. Like a lot of people were making poor tire stops on their green because they would run longer on fuel and have to, you know, sit there and get the fuel in. And they were only going 2-1 yellows, but we only have 4 cautions. You know, pitch strategy is kind of out the window.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know. I think we were all expecting a lot more after seeing him lead the points for a little bit, but I don't know, maybe we're expecting too much at the same time. You know, he is only, you know, he's had such that slump and everything like that, and so we've had a few bright spots, so everybody's getting hopeful and optimistic, but at the same time, you know, maybe he's really not 100% out of that slump yet. Maybe he's still rebounding.
Yeah, but when you're 26 points out of the top spot, you got to have some, you got to have a couple of dominating weeks. He's going to have to take, let's see, max points for the winner. That's leading the most laps and all the other bonuses you can get is 5. So Denny Hamlin wound up with a 48-point day. Second place, Jimmy Johnson, leading the lap, so he would have had basically first place points minus the win points. And he had 43, so he's down 5 just on the race finish. That's the if Brad Keselowski had held serve a little better, Johnson would have been in second place. If Johnson could have finished 2 spots closer, I mean, if Keselowski could have finished 2 spots closer to Johnson, he'd have still had the points lead by 1. But now he's down by 1. And that 4-point swing was in the positions yesterday was all the difference because they both led laps. They stayed out on the green, lead that lap point. And, you know, those little things add up. I mean, even Stewart, who's only 10 back in the thing, he's stayed out, led a lap. He knows what it takes to win a championship. He came off a championship year. And it's just those little things that you have to do to stay tight. If you can't take it by winning, you want to stay tight to the leaders. And
exactly.
I think Earnhardt's letting that slip.
And be consistent. You know, I've known many racers that have been able to win entire championships without a single race in the local short tracks and everything like that. And it is,
yeah.
It's very possible. It's being there week in and week out at the end of the race. And as long as you do that and you're consistent, that's what's going to help you get a championship. You can't be first 1 week and 43rd the next week. That's not going to do anything for you. You've got to be, you know, like your consistent top, you know, I would say maybe 8 to 10 positions every week. And in NASCAR, I would say probably more like top 5 every week.
Yeah, you have to be in the top 5 every, I'd say consistently in, well, at least in the top 5, no further than top 10. You could have a couple, especially in a 10-race winner-take-all type of, you only have 10 races, so you've got to be in the top 5, and you have to score as many bonus points as you can.
True.
And if you win one, winning, I think, plays more in this chase format than it does in Daytona to Homestead, the season-long, like the Nationwide and the Truck Series. over the long haul like that. And you get it down, and you're only seeded 3 points apart from first seed to 12th seed. And, you know, you got to take advantage of the bonus points you get. Hamlin, 3-4 wins. Stewart, 3 wins. Johnson, 3 wins. I mean, going in, you know, going into the chase, that's that advantage that you need. Junior had 1 win. If he could have eked out another one, that would have helped. Giving him another, you know, I think it's a 3 points for the win. That makes a difference. But the biggest win leaders of the year were Johnson, Keselowski, and Hamlin, and Stewart. They're the ones that put themselves in the upper top seeds, so it gives you a little more swing room in the chase if you have a bad day.
Hey, true. And look at Edwards, who's sitting on the outside of the chase looking in. You know,
yeah.
Last year's runner-up, he just did not have a consistent year. He couldn't, you know, he just couldn't find their stride. They couldn't find their happy points and everything in the races and get the cars to where they needed to be. And, you know, he's on the outside looking in. And just from 1 year to the next is one thing, but from 1 week to the next, you know, everything changes. You never know. You could end up, like last year, the second race at Dover, they had that crash, was what, lap 6 or lap 9, and wiped out, what, 8-10 cars?
Yeah.
You know, and that was in the front of the pack, too. It wasn't like it was in the back. It was towards the front. So you don't know what's going to happen.
No. Especially at Dover, where there's a chance of somebody wrecking and taking out a few cars. That's one of the things you look forward to. You don't watch races to see the wrecks, but you like them to happen, to bunch up the field and see how the strategy, who dodges and who doesn't. Edwards this year, not only did he not run consistent, he didn't even luck into a win. He did it in a nationwide series, but not in the Cup Series this year. And have you ever noticed that championship runners-up always have a bad year the next year?
Yeah, we've seen that in the past. That's not always. I mean, I don't know if it's some of it the defeat. I mean, we've had issues where. I mean, I don't even know what the mentality is. Is it just that it's such a mental game that they're just psyched out that much that mentally they can't get back into it?
I think either that or they've spent so much energy and drive that 1 year thinking that they're going to have. They're that much closer to the edge, and like even Rusty was telling Carl Edwards when they had him in the booth, I think it was last weekend, he said, look, man, he goes, it happened to me. I said, I finished second in the points. The year after, had a bum year, and nothing went right. And, you know, I said, next year, you know, told Edwards, next year will be your year. I said, it just seems like for some reason such stuff happens. Sometimes it's beyond your control, and you just have a bad year that, you come back more determined that third year, and like that's when Rusty won his championship in, I think it was 89. So, and Edwards has the talent. You can't say he doesn't. He wins often enough. Just that this year was one of those bad years. All teams have them.
Exactly.
If Jimmy Johnson didn't have a bad year last year, he'd have won 6 in a row. You know? I know you were pulling for Stewart to win. I was hoping Edwards win, get some fresh face in there. But Stewart's the one that won the last Sprint Cup before Johnson's 5 in a row. So I guess it seemed fitting that he'd be the first one to win it, breaking that record. And there's a whole bunch of things you could look at. I mean, guys like Clint Bowyer, Martin Truex Jr. Truex had a decent year. He made the chase. No wins. Bowyer had 2 wins. So it's good for Michael Walter Brayson to get in there. But did I think Truex would have that kind of year where he'd win a championship? I've watched him drive over the course of years, whether it was with DEI when he was Dale Jr.'s teammate, or when he stayed there before he went to Waltrip. after Junior left, and I don't know. I thought he had a better nationwide career than he had a cup career. He won two nationwide championships in a row with DEI, which he's a guy that Dale Jr. Tapp put him in what they call it, back when Junior Motorsports was called Chance 2 Motorsports. He plucked him off the dirt tracks or the K&N series and brought him on in. They kind of they even roommated together when they were back in the day when they were both with the same team. But I've never seen anything out of Martin Truex Jr. that I thought would that he'd be a champion, a Sprint Cup champion with the talent pool that's out there now. I don't think, as far as I've watched him in restricted plate races, where draft, you know, where he's not a very good drafter. I mean, certain guys can draft, other guys can't. And Clint Bowyer, I don't know if I think if he's got to have some better luck. I mean, he spun in Richmond and won the race to lock him into the chase, even though he did have a win already, and he was up far enough in the points. But he, you know, Casey Kane, another one everybody thought was going to go far. It seemed like there's something missing there. Whether do you think it's the car? Do you think it's his personality? He's kind of laid back. And some of your, but Jimmy Johnson had a laid back personality too, and he's won five championships in a row.
I think he comes off with a laid back personality, but I really don't think that he is, though. In the case of Jimmy.
Yeah, he always seems like, yeah, you're right. I think he does come off that way. I don't know, he seemed pretty laid back at the 21 club.
Well, true. Well, I think everybody was that day.
Yeah, we're like Brad Keselowski, Tony Stewart, Harvick. They're not your laid back personality guys. You could even throw Hamlin in the mix. Kyle Busch, Jeff Gordon used to be. Kenseth is way too laid back. I mean, you need to pump some 5-hour energy shots into him to get him to perk up. Even though that's not his sponsor, he could sure use them. But I don't know. It's just one of those deals that it's just you're just going to have to look at the we'll see what Dover brings, because it might shake it up a little bit more. If Jimmy runs away with the race this weekend, then he's going to be back in that point where he's they'll be calling him six time.
I don't know.
Because he does seem to excel in chase events. Like last year, I think wasn't his year. It's just that one he couldn't get that rhythm going that he got years past when he won the five in a row. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't. You know, then again, maybe it's just it's not meant to be.
Yeah, I mean, maybe somebody else win it this year, because if he wins it again this year, you know, then he's one step away from total greatness. There's only two guys that have won seven.
Dale and Richard.
That's right. And if things didn't certain ways, if Earnhardt, when he won his seven, there's certain things that happened that if they didn't, he wouldn't have won seven. One was Ernie Irvin getting injured in a serious championship run. Tim Richmond, a guy that died before his time. He was a guy that probably could have had one of those championships that Earnhardt got. Alan Kulwicki, he won one, you know, and then off year. Then the Gordon era started where he won. He had four wins going into the two, because his last, Gordon's fourth one was the year Earnhardt got killed. The year before that, Earnhardt finished second to Bobby Labonte. So Earnhardt was poised for number eight, but it never came because the first race of the year.
Right.
And that was just one of those things where Gordon was the best driver that year after that event and had the consistency to win the trophy. I don't know. So we got our picks out of the way. I guess Cindy was it, had to go back inside.
Yeah, I lost her. Probably, or the mosquitoes carried her away. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's right. They're not Jersey or our area mosquitoes. They're nothing down there. They say
know.
Things are bigger.
They will
in
carry
Texas.
Us away for sure in this area. I didn't tell her about
yeah.
them. Shh. Don't tell her. I didn't tell her there's giant mosquitoes that carry our tent away.
She don't have a computer. She ain't listening.
That's true. She'll listen on replay on the way up on the plane.
Oh, even from her. Anyway, if anybody out there wants to give us a call, the number is I'm getting ready to give NJC's number. 646-649-1899. But did anybody think of the race yesterday? Did y'all feel it was a snooze fest?
So I didn't miss anything because I was working the firehouse in the $1,000 jackpot bingo, so I guess I didn't miss anything.
I'm not talking to you. We already went through it. I know you missed it, so I think you didn't miss anything.
That's what I figured. From the way these guys are all talking, it doesn't sound like I missed much.
Yeah, did you see? I think even NBS was sleeping through it.
Oh, no, that's not good.
They weren't watching. I'll tell you, there's some light feedback. Everybody said, does anybody believe this thing is this? No, I saw Z's on some posts. Yeah, it was not a fun-filled race. I even went away and came back and watched it on tape delay, and I didn't miss anything.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know who won. Well, that's what's good about DirecTV. You can pause it, record it, step away from it. I'll tell you, the only thing I used to have Comcast, and I had it basically because I used to watch the Flyers games. I think I've watched every one up until the strike of 2005.
Wow.
And this is going back into the 70s, except for a few years I was in the military and couldn't. But then I started covering the events, and then once that happened, I didn't have I went to one game after that, and then after that I didn't feel like going anymore. So... So I used to send everybody else. We had enough sports guys at the old station that wanted to go, so I'd send them, being the sports director. And even them, they didn't want to go half the time. They couldn't go half the time. I used to go to all the weekend games.
Wow.
Yeah, I had credentials. When you have credentials and the parking and all that, we have a season credential for the Flyers.
I don't get into Flyers either, so that doesn't help.
And
baseball.
The parking pass. So I used to pull into the media lot, walk into the first, I don't even know what they call that anymore, Wells Fargo Center now.
Is it still that?
Last I knew.
I don't know.
It used to be the first Union Center.
It used to be the Spectrum.
Then it used to be the first, that was the other building.
Yeah, the other, that's when I would go there.
That's not even there anymore. They level that.
I know. Does that make me old?
All
I used to go there and see stuff.
Yeah. Even the Phillies games.
Citizens.
Finally get credentials to the Phillies games at Citizens Bank, and every once in a while somebody'd go. I told them, I said,
I'd go.
You have to go a lot.
I'd go. I like baseball.
You sit in the press box, watch the ball game from up there. You go on the field pre-game, all that kind of stuff. The guy that was the sports director at NJC before me used to go to most of the games.
Yeah, I like that.
Even,
I'm the weird one.
He even got to play in the media softball game where the TV guys would play the radio guys.
Are you serious?
That's a heart attack.
Oh, that's not fair. That would be so cool to play a game on that field. Oh, my goodness. That would be my kids would think I was the coolest person in the world if I did that. They'd have the cool mom for the little bit of time it took until that wore off.
Yeah.
Next to something else, the mom's no longer cool anymore.
Yeah. Until they're older.
Yeah, and then they tell their kids, Grandma played on the baseball field.
Yeah. Grandma got to drive around Dover and dump the soda.
Yes.
That was only halfway around. That was a half mile.
No, I didn't even make it that far. I made the 3 and 4 going in from the back stretch.
Well, yeah. But I'm coming out, and I figured I'd take the banking.
Yeah, it didn't work so well.
I was on the banking, like, why is she, like, dropping to the apron like that? I didn't think you were scared.
No, not that.
Yeah, motocross racer, she jumps things on two wheels.
I do.
She can't be scared going around.
Did you hear? I was back on the bike last week for the first time since I got hurt.
Yeah?
Back on the bike last Thursday. I made it through. I was working with Frenchie, Greg Paymart. I was up at his training facility, and I'm looking forward to going back to training and getting back on that bike for next year. I got another championship. You know, I'm getting greedy. 3's not enough. I want 4.
I thought you had 4.
Well, I have 4 total, but I want 4 at the track. That way it kind of sets me up above everybody. That'll give me 4 track championships if I can do it next year. I have 3 track already and 1 regional.
Hmm.
I need
That's
more.
4.
I don't have enough. Yeah. I need more. I want to be 5 total. Then I can say I'm 5 time.
Yeah, that's true.
Nah, just ready to get back out there and get back to racing. It's been too long.
Yeah.
Oh, and don't forget that there is no Thursday night show this week because it's going to be Friday and Saturday.
Cool.
So, yeah. And you don't know, we might pop things in there too, so you never know.
Oh.
Who knows what we're doing and where and when.
I try to, once I figure out how to get the switchboard rolling, let's say you say it takes you from 6:30 to airtime.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's with the new computer.
Wow, and that's the new computer. I guess
yeah.
This old thing.
That's my new one, my new purple one.
I don't know. I would think that... I would think that they'd have that worked out. Maybe you could send them an email and say, you know, is there something to glitch or?
I think they're upgrading their servers from the way it looks and updating their site because now how everything's changed when you log in.
Because all I get is you don't get Garage Talk Live in the thing because I was actually signed in. And then... Well, you'd have the thing on the right where it says Garage Talk Live and you have the drop down. Then there it says account and all, but it doesn't say anything about studio or anything like that.
Yeah, I have to go in through account when I want to get in there for some reason.
Well, I don't know. Well, what are you going to do?
We make it work.
At least you could make it work.
We make it work. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing a remote from down here somewhere on a different night for another type of show. Keep this one way, and you got yours your way, and you know what I mean.
And we might have some new stuff too. We're working on getting more dirt track coverage, so we're working on that.
Dirt track coverage from where?
From New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey.
How are we going to do that? Let's talk about this off the air. This is not something we should talk about that on the
air.
Yeah,
we're working on that. We're trying to get some more tracks on board.
Oh. for the show as a group?
Yep, we're trying to grow. Again.
Yeah, we have to.
Again.
Let's try to get some bigger tracks, too.
Yep, we got a game plan we're working on. It's going to take all. It's going to take all winter, but it's okay. It's worth it.
You got to keep me abreast. I am the boss.
We have to get you Skype. Then it's easier.
I got Skype.
Oh, well, then I'll Skype you when we're done.
No, that's the dopey data plan I'm stuck with for a year.
Oh, okay.
No, I got Skype.
Yeah, I love
Skype. I had Skype before you had Skype.
I know, and now I'm hooked on it. I can't live without it.
Oh, I know. That you use the video cam and all that?
I do. My new computer has all that. So, yeah, I'm a dork. I can admit it. I finally come into technology era.
How do you think I interviewed that girl, the driver from South Africa? Skype.
I love it. It's the best thing in the world.
It is. If I didn't have much data, I don't think I could do a whole show every week with it because with 5 gig on the...
Oh, yeah, we'd get it wrong.
Yeah. I use less running it through my cell phone. Yeah, once I get... Well, if I knew then what I know now, I'd have had, like, what they call CenturyLink down here, which is kind of like the good, which is the good stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's hard line, fiber optic, I think. It ties in with your DirecTV. It could have bundled, you know, they have these bundles.
Bundle.
Bundle. But I would still keep my Verizon cell phone. if they're all this. I love this Miss Sprint cups that come on and I help them plug the stuff, but as far as a phone network goes and access to hear the horror stories, and that's not just from you. I even wonder if you came down here, if we sat on my deck, what kind of signal you would have versus
probably
what I have.
I know. We're looking at when our contract's up in January. We're considering.
Well, Verizon costs a little more, but the signal, where you go, and I even tell people this because they couldn't get signal, and there's one thing that Verizon does that you every month, and I'm not giving them a plug, because I think it's because you update your software for all the new towers they're putting up.
Nice.
And when I first came down here looking at houses, there were spots I couldn't get signal. So then I upgraded my software, and now I'm getting full signal because there's like a tower somewhere on one of the hills that I can see from my house. I don't know if it's the one out to the right of me or the one out to the left of me.
Oh, that's not good.
What do you mean? That's real good. I get full signal.
That's not fair.
Well, you know, they put these things near highways, and I-77 is about a stone's throw from my house. You can't see it. Yeah, you got to come down here and visit it sometime.
I know. I want to come down and camp, so it's okay. We'll do that next summer.
Yeah, you can camp at Fort Bastion.
Not camp in your backyard.
You can do that, too. Oh, yes. The Fort Bastion, there's a Facebook page called Fort Bastion.
Oh, wow.
They send me things. This is one of the things they're doing this weekend. Not this weekend. It's Halloween.
Do they do, like, the Civil War stuff down there, too, in your area?
Not somewhere. But this is a Halloween thing and camp out. Bring your guns and all sorts of stuff.
Hey! I don't know if I want to come if I have to bring guns.
Oh, I got guns.
Okay.
Let me go back to there.
We got, like, 5 minutes left before we run out of time.
Well, I know. Well, this weekend we'll do a wrap-up real quick. You and Cindy will be at Dover.
We will, and we're going to obviously we'll get to talk to TJ, and we have a bunch of other drivers on our list, so we'll see who we can all catch, and then I'll figure out how to get on the computer.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that yet, though. That's one thing I have to learn how to do.
Yeah. But, yeah, you might need to. Hey, that would stink if you have to go plug into the hard line of the media center. Better hope that Sprint card thing works good. Find the Sprint truck where they put the temporary towers up. You want to be like 5 feet from them.
I should take my husband's phone down there and have him fix his phone. It's broken.
Where?
The Sprint stores down there, the Sprint stands. His wonderful HTC Evo no longer charges.
So what did he do to it?
We don't know. They don't know why it won't charge the battery.
Is the battery spent?
That's, I'm wondering if it's that or if it's the piece that it goes into.
We must have did some to it, or was it a dud from the beginning?
This just started a couple of days ago.
Yeah, it might have been something.
Mine still works, but it's falling apart. But my renewal is in July or January, so it's okay. I'll make it last.
What do you have?
I have the same thing. I have the Evo.
I got the Motorolas. They seem to. That's what all the police use in their cop cars is Motorola. So
yeah,
they're durable. I think this is. And plus, I think as one of the. As far as listening here and hearing a call, like my Sam, I had a Samsung flip phone, that little thing. I could barely hear the caller. At least with the Motorola, they're pretty durable. But all right, Tom, so we call it a day. If you have a good week in Dover with Cindy, do us proud. I wish I could be there. Maybe next year.
My goal is to get some questions off in the media center, too, so just so you know, that's my goal.
Your goal is
to ask some questions in the press conference.
First one sets the tone.
I know Chuck keeps telling me that every time we're down there, so I'm going to have to do that.
Oh, he used to get on my stones if I missed the first one.
Yep, I'm going to have to do it just for him and you.
But he'd always say, oh, you let me down.
Yeah, but he's awesome. I love it. He makes me feel comfortable when I get down there, so it's all good.
Yeah, he's a good dude. And see Pete from the Phillies, Pete Schnetz, who's doing the show from the Ink Bar. Huh?
I saw him last time. I just didn't get the chance to track him down.
Oh, track him down.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll get him on the show.
There you go.
I haven't talked to him in a bit. I don't even know if he covers the race. I guess if he was down there last time. You know what he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he always works. He works in the turn one area, so.
I'll find him.
Yeah. Because he used to work by what I used to do to my. When I started the show on Monday nights, it was from 9 to 10, he'd always call in.
Aww.
For the most part, because he was. I'm surprised. And. Because he'd have to have his columns done. He's a deadline guy, so he'd have to have it done by a certain deadline. I guess waiting for the edit to get done.
Yep.
He'd have time. Yeah, I thought I was going to at least have. That's what happened is I got the thing from the press release from Elon, and I replied for John to call in. I think texting him works better.
Yeah, probably. His email probably gets all filled up. But it's all right. We got next week's another week.
Yeah. And I wanted to get a hold of John right after the winning I'm drawing a blank. Tracks a shootout. That was probably like the highlight of the weekend for Force Racings.
Aww. We'll get him on.
Yeah. All right, Tammy, that's about it for this week's edition of Garage Talk Live. Tell everybody hi up at Dover for me, and hopefully you'll have some audio to play back next Monday.
Sounds good. We'll figure out how to get it to play because I don't know how to do that.
Well, I saw something in the studio on that. It says upload audio. So I guess if you download it into your computer and you can upload it onto the studio on. And did you see that tab when you get into the studio?
Yeah, that's what I have to play with it and see. We'll figure it out. I'll get it working.
If you had a mixer, you could just do it that way, but.
That's my next purchase. I got to save up a while, though.
Yeah, they're only about $100.
Yeah.
Radio Shack. I'll get you the model and all the model, all the stuff you need to go with it.
All right.
All righty. Have a good one. See
you
all next week.
We'll
wrap up for Dover and whatever else is going on in the world of motorsports. I'm Vince.
And I'm Tammy.
Bye-bye.